Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sarah Huber on World Talk Radio. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Mission critical. Two words that describe the data vital to every e-commerce website. If your company needs the services of an unparalleled co-location facility, you need to remember these two words, Castle Access. With Castle Access, your internet servers will be secure in environmentally controlled data centers that offer high-speed managed internet access and the highest standards of 24/7 customer support. For more info, visit castleaccess.com. Castle Access, we keep you online all the time.
Hello, I'm Tom Coleman, host of Radio One, a unique talk show for unmarried and single audiences. It's not the usual dating stuff. Radio One focuses on all aspects of your life: work and play, health and finance, religion and politics, travel and recreation. Join us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, beginning January 25, here on World Talk Radio.
Wherever you are, you deserve World Spa, a day spa for both men and women specializing in Western therapies with age-old Eastern techniques. All World Spa providers are professionally licensed specialists in their fields. We provide spa treatments for all schedules, from as little as 30 minutes to all-day programs. World Spa also has a spiritual library where you can relax and enjoy our collection of books, videos, and audio tapes. World Spa is open 7 days a week by appointment and features a variety of special treatments, spa services, facials, exfoliation, and much more. We also offer products such as beauty and skin treatments, health drinks, herbal teas, and food supplements. World Spa also accommodates groups of five or more so you can make it a full and special day. Come enjoy the World Spa difference. Call us today at 619-624-0506 or visit us on the web at www.worldspas.org.
Have a question or comment? To speak to our show hosts or guests during the live show, call in toll-free in North America, 877-514-7300.
And from elsewhere in the world, call 001-858-277-1444.
Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
What are we going to talk about today?
We could talk about how good life is.
Life is good.
Life is good. You know, there are a few things that I wish actually that I'd thought of. You know, there are some book titles like What You Think of Me is None of My Business. You know, ones like that that I think, I wish I'd thought of that. And that life is good. You know,
yes.
Clothing that say life is good.
Yes.
What a brilliant thing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so life is good.
Life is good.
I've been spending a lot of time with a lot of my favorite people lately, all of them around the monastery and Living Compassion and the Zen Center. And it's just a very, very good time.
It's good. You know, my sense of it is that there's this interconnectedness that is, I sense, life trying to break down the walls that I put up. And I can feel the resistance to that, to those walls being broken down.
Yes.
Somebody's trying to remember who I am and what I do and what it means. And
So there's the image, there's the wall.
Yes.
And life is kind of taking it down. There's ego.
Yes.
Just with the bricks and hammers and nails and just trying to put it back together as fast as it can.
Yeah.
The good part is that every time life breaks it down, ego tries to put it back together, but it's a fast job. You know, it's not done that well. And so it starts looking increasingly shoddy. And pretty soon we realize, you know, that's really not worth maintaining. That's not an attractive thing.
Yes. And I get the feeling it's like the ocean. Life is like relentless in a sense, or it's consistently offering to us
mm-hmm.
in breaking those walls down.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep working to stay small and separate. And
yeah. Well, and we have people like Rumi who talk about yeah. about life as the beloved.
Yes.
And so the infinitely patient and loving nature of life that just keeps coming back to us, offering the next gift of love and the next gift of love
wow.
and the next gift of love. And
wow.
no matter how many times we say, no, thank you, I don't want that, I'm not interested. I want to live a small, dissatisfied, hateful little life. Life just kind of it smiles and, you know, pats us a little
uh-huh.
and says, oh,
uh-huh.
not really, you don't really. Here,
yes.
here.
Try this.
Have some of this.
Great.
Yeah.
Sure, I have good news. It's Colin Talk Show, and we
have a caller.
Oh, I'd like to welcome Janet from New Hampshire. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hello,
hi.
Janet.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I am so excited to be on, and this is really kind of a funny start because I'm in New Hampshire, and I was listening. For some reason, I kept thinking you were on at 7. So
oh.
I got on, and I got another show. It must have been last week's show because daylight savings hadn't happened yet.
Oh.
And I'm going, what is going on? This is so weird. And finally I realized that I was on the wrong time.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So
we had a little one of those at the Zen Center.
We did.
You did?
Sunday morning group and meditation, and people are doing meditation, and then they're doing group, and then kind of like right before group ended, another whole group of people came in to do meditation and group.
Oh, that's great. Well, it was so funny. You know, it was almost like a time warp or something happened, but I got to listen to the show that I hadn't heard last week. So that was great. But what was so funny about it is that the reason I was calling is because I just wanted to call in and talk about calling in. And what a time, you know, I mean, I would have just, you know, shut the computer off and said, this is ridiculous, and I have other stuff to do tonight, and I'm not going to spend 2 hours with, you know, this talk show and that kind of thing.
Really, how silly would that be?
I know, when yeah. the whole reason I was calling in is because I wanted to call in because it's so hard to call in.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about something that you had said in the email class about the very best reason for doing something is simply the fact that conditioning says that I shouldn't
uh-huh.
or you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about calling in, I get this, oh, I really want to call in, or I should call in. And then I'll hear someone calling in and I'll say, oh, I wish that were me calling in. Or it'll be, well, why didn't I call in?
Uh-huh.
You know, and yeah. all those things happen. So then once I decide, oh, I'm going to call in, then it's like I get the message, you know, look at all you're going through about calling in.
Uh-huh.
This is really a lot. And this
too
is
much.
Too much for you.
Yeah, it's really too much.
Why do you put yourself through things like this?
Yes, and you know, the answer is, you're right. So the next time it occurs to me to call, I'm just going to pick up the phone and dial.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not going to put myself through all of that.
Right. Well, that's great. I'm going to really listen to this again.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I was thinking about is that one thing I've really been watching is what conditioning does is says that I don't need this extra burden. So it'll take me to the level of, look what you're doing. This is really a burden. You need to... You deserve to relax. So instead of putting yourself through this, you know, go turn the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
Go do something else that's really going to, you know, take your mind off all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll start out with, I'd really like to call in because I really want to connect and I just want to do it, to you really need to turn the computer off and go do something good for yourself.
Go unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what will really take care of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It was fascinating because I was thinking, oh, I really can't call in because I don't have anything specific to talk about. And then I thought, well, I've got something going on right now about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is my process.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. We don't need a really big content to be able to see the process, do we? Because that process that you've described probably happens all over your life.
Yes, it does. I've been really looking at that.
So that whole how you do anything is how you do everything, that's the point of that. You know, I can watch myself drive for a block, or I can watch myself do the dishes, or I can watch myself whatever. It's little life thing that's going on, and I can see so much. I would go so far as to say everything about how I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, and so I love what you just said about next time, just go and pick up the phone.
Oh, it's not like, you know, you're debating blackmailing somebody or robbing the local liquor store. You know, I think I'd like to call in to the radio show and have a little conversation with people doing awareness practice. Okay, let's just say yes to her.
Yeah, no drama.
No drama.
Yeah.
Just walk over, pick up the phone, dial the number.
Uh-huh.
There you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I find that I have drama on just about everything.
Right.
Or that same, I said that same process.
Yeah. Ego, drama, synonyms, right?
And one thing I wanted to talk about was, because I am taking the email class, and you had just recently said something about not suffering doesn't have anything to do with control over life.
Uh-huh.
So,
what an outrageous sentence, huh?
It is because what keeps coming up for me is how much I try to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I've been doing the class and the awareness practice, the more I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it before, but not like I'm seeing it now.
Yeah. Well, and so you don't fall into taking it personally, which could happen after it bludgeons you over this issue for long enough. Ego uses the idea of control to control you.
Yes.
Yes, so the voice would talk you into believing that control is possible, and then it would use your control or lack of control as a way to punish you, to control you.
Yes.
Yeah, to make you afraid, to make you feel bad, to whatever. So it's a huge, it's so layered.
Yeah, it really feels like it. And as I said, I'm just so surprised at how I try to control everything.
Yeah, well, now keep in mind, you're not trying to control
everything. I'm not trying to control everything,
okay?
But conditioning
so,
is...
Yeah, when you listen to it, you're being told that you should control, that you can control. And if you don't control it, there's something wrong with you and you're a failure and this is the problem, you can't do that. So we get so far away from that really intelligent, logical, rational question of, is control possible? We get so far out in the conversation of, I should be controlling this, I should be able to control myself, I should be able to control life, I should be in control, I should be able to make things happen the way, why can't I... That we stop questioning whether control is even possible. And of course, as soon as we start looking at it, we realize, well, control is an illusion. I can't. That's silly. I can't feel bad because I can't control life. Nobody can control life. It's not possible.
Yes, and I guess what I'm getting a lot of is that, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but that, you know, living life instead of trying to control life, but being in life.
So here you are. This is the spiritual image, right? You're going down the river. When you just go down the river, it's easy. You know, your little boat even knows how to get around things and not run into rocks and stuff like that. It's easy. You're going with the current, okay? When we try to control life, we don't even have to be trying to paddle upstream, which we can all get is really difficult. Trying to control life is going down the river with one foot on the bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a rough, rough ride. And, of course, it doesn't work. It doesn't get you anything except a rough ride.
And what it seems to me is that if you've got your foot on the side and then you let go of that, but then you got to get the other foot out because you're going to get over on the other side, and it's just like...
You're in a mess. Yeah. So it really is better just to come back to the breath, focus on the breath, relax, just go down the river.
Yeah.
Life knows what it's doing. It's way better at life than we are.
You know,
we'll turn it over to an expert.
Yeah, that's my wish for myself.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thank you for picking up the phone.
I know. Thank you for being there.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I have to tell you, that's one of my favorite topics for calling in. The process of calling,
uh-huh,
and the drama around that.
Yeah, yeah.
Should I and shouldn't I? And
mm-hmm.
What's it going to be like?
Well, and then after I do the postmortem.
Yeah.
Oh, why did I say that? I can't believe it. What do they think?
I wonder who was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Did they know it was me? They think I'm an idiot. I'll never do that again.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of our first segment, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, in our second segment, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back with you very soon.
Are you a busy event planner, an auction chair, or development coordinator? Well, auctionhelp.com is designed for you. Find out why hundreds of nonprofit organizations just like yours have chosen auctionhelp.com to take the stress out of the benefit auction process. Hi, I'm Russ Dalnack, professional auctioneer, and I'm also someone who can help you coordinate your next auction. That's right. We have a special staff of auction management experts to give you that auctioneer to get the right person behind the microphone that'll encourage your guests to be generous. We can also meet with your auction committee throughout the whole planning process. We're going to give you helpful hints that could add as much as 25% to next year's totals. We're going to train and monitor your auction volunteers the night of the event. We're going to help you run your auction, including the registration, the data entry, the filing, the cashiering, the recording, where to get those valuable items, how to develop your audience, and all those things. Log on, auctionhelp.com. We're here to help with your next auction.
Has life gotten you down? Are you struggling with how to have healthy relationships? Are you struggling with how to have a healthy life? Hi, I'm Dr. Michelle. On my show, Wellness Talk Radio Balance and Change, we talk about these issues and much more. This is the place to discuss the things that are making it difficult to find balance in your life. Call in or email me, and I'll help you to make the changes you need in order to live the life you want. I'm on Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Let's talk.
Mission critical. Two words that describe the data vital to every e-commerce website. If your company needs the services of an unparalleled co-location facility, you need to remember these two words, Castle Access. With Castle Access, your internet servers will be secure in environmentally controlled data centers that offer high-speed managed internet access and the highest standards of 24/7 customer support. For more info, visit castleaccess.com. Castle Access. We keep you online all the time.
World Talk Radio. Interested in advertising on any of our shows? Please click the advertise link on the homepage or send an email to ads@worldtalkradio.com. Or you can click on the sponsor this show link on any of the show pages.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, the callers are stacking up here. I think World Talk is going to have to invest in more phone equipment or handle all of these calls. All right, I'd like to welcome Sandy from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good evening.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
That was really interesting listening to the other caller talk about how hard it is to call, and I've done that process a couple times now, thinking about calling and not calling, and so this time I kind of did what you were talking about, where I didn't even think about it. I sort of just picked up the phone and started dialing.
Uh-huh.
Which was great, except that then I had to wait on hold. And so I had the whole process going on while I was on hold.
Yeah.
About
hang up.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Hang up. There's a good reason.
They don't know you're on there.
Well, no. Okay,
nobody
well,
knows.
See, of course I'm thinking, oh, I gave my name. So yeah, they'll know I hung up.
That's right.
So
they do know I'm on.
So then there was a whole battle over that. But it was interesting to see that, you know, how that just takes place.
Mm-hmm.
In, you know, particularly when you have to wait. In some ways, you know, I sort of didn't think about it, picked up the phone, and then it was like, okay, now I'm ready. Let's go.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm not thinking. And
that's
now
right.
Now I'm having too much time, and now I'm thinking.
Now I'm thinking. Now I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but what I did call about is something I really want to talk to you about is it's about my involvement with practice as the content of what I'm looking at.
Uh-huh.
So, because what's been happening for me is that there's at least two different parts that are sort of thinking about, or I guess, how do I want to say, but they're the two different parts that are looking at, well, they're probably not looking at anything. Okay. They're all thinking about, well, they think they're looking at my involvement with practice. And let's just say one, so things have happened for me in the past 6 months that have caused me to be more involved.
Yes.
In a big way, feeling to me. And so there's one part that feels really connected
mm-hmm.
to the practice and to living compassion as an organization as well, which aren't exactly the same thing, but it's part of the, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's another part that doesn't, so one part feels a lot more involved in a big way, and another part that doesn't want anything to do with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does the part who doesn't want to have anything to do with it have to say?
Well, there's a number of things. It feels like, well, so there's a lot of talk about, you know, maybe people in the practice aren't perfect and they do things that I might not agree with or things, you know, I may not agree with everything. Or there may be, and this came up on a trip, you know, it's like, well, I don't know if I agree with that or I don't know if I think that. So it's a lot of ego sort of, you know, conversation in my head about, well, I have a different opinion than that.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if I want to be
involved with these
involved
people
with this.
Who I have a different opinion than.
Exactly.
But, you know, that, not that probably everybody doesn't have that experience at some point or another, but it's really kind of funny because, you know, that would argue for being alone all the time.
Well, I'm alone a lot.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
and now
yeah,
the really interesting
yeah
part about that,
yeah,
so you're alone,
uh-huh,
and you still don't always agree with yourself.
Wait, something just happened in my brain where I didn't quite get that.
Well, there's a part of you who is really involved with practice and likes it.
Yes.
And then there's another part of you who is not involved and we guess pretty much doesn't like it.
Yes.
So even when you're alone, you
I
don't
can't
agree
get it
with all your opinions.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, and it also feels, yeah, that's very interesting. It also feels to some degree like there's an aspect of the, and I have kind of brought this up in the past about the feeling of somewhat of a of an like the idealization of it,
mm-hmm,
or the honeymoon part of it,
mm-hmm,
ending, you know, sort of like in a relationship when it's like, oh, this is just a person I'm
right
having this relationship with.
Right.
You know,
oh my God, there's
a group of people doing this, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 And then still saying,
well, and the interesting part about that, because we're still in subpersonalities, aren't
yeah
we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because if I say, you know, I'm involved with somebody and all of a sudden I go, oh, well, they're just a person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did I actually see something about them? Or did I just become somebody who is going to, who needs to have a reason to distance myself?
Oh, who sees things that way.
Who sees things
who
that
sees
way.
Uh-huh.
Who's looking for the
yeah
the flaw, the fault, the,
right,
the bad opinion. The
right. Well, and it's interesting because it kind of, you know, it feels relevant to the idea of making a commitment or, you know, I've heard you say, and the concept of spiritual practice where you pick something that really, you know, that speaks to you,
mm-hmm,
and then you stick it out. I mean, kind of, you make a commitment and then you dig. It's like that digging metaphor,
mm-hmm,
where instead of you're digging, you could bop from thing to thing to thing and dig a bunch of really shallow holes.
Right.
Or you stay in one place and you just dig there.
So you hit pay dirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's been coming up for me a lot because I've been feeling, you know, somewhat that I'm in a more rocky area.
Yeah.
Than I've been in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
there's
of
rocks
course
in there, or someone thinks, someone perceives that.
Yeah, well, and everybody who's ever made a commitment knows that place,
mm-hmm,
right? It's like as soon as we make the commitment, the resistance just,
mm-hmm,
then that's what's there. Because mm-hmm the need to make the commitment is met. So what's going to be there next is the one who said, I don't want to make that commitment.
Right.
I don't think that. I don't agree with that.
And like this is the list of reasons.
Yeah, and yes, and I have some very good reasons for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, if we followed that, if we kept going back and forth on the duality, so then, you know, I said, I don't want to be committed to that. I don't want to do that. Then that need is met, not to be committed. And right behind that is the one who says, yeah, but I love that.
Yeah. Well, yes. I was looking at this, and I was talking to someone about this yesterday, or yeah, the other day. And what came up for me was kind of the question of, like, why do I do this practice? Because no one's, because there was a, I think that part that's like, I don't know if I agree with everything. Also, or maybe this is a whole other part. There's a bit of like, yeah, but you have to do it anyway. Like you're involved now, so you have to be involved.
Uh-huh.
And so then there was kind of this space of, you don't have to do anything. This is a gift you're giving yourself.
Yes. Yes. And the secret, the path to freedom, the super highway to freedom in that, is when the voice comes up that says, and it's anywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. It's with practice, it's in relationship, it's with a job, it's with anything.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The voice comes up and says, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that. I don't agree with that. To stop right there and say, that is the voice of ego. That's the voice of conditioning. The very sentence, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't agree with that, is all the evidence that we need that ego is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because our authentic nature, the heart, you know, doesn't operate that way. That's just not how it works. So to stop right there and say, now, wait a minute, this is interesting. Now, who doesn't like that? Who doesn't want to do that? What part of me is that? And turn the attention to the one who's saying that,
yeah,
and get them to explain what's going on with them, rather than, oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I don't want.
Well, and it's interesting. I think the last caller was also talking about how a lot of times when that comes up for me, it's. And I'm sure this is probably true with a lot of people, there is this sneaky way that it goes into distraction. So it comes up, the feeling comes up, the message comes up, and then it really quickly goes to a distraction so that there's no room in there for looking.
Yes, yes. And that process is critical to catch on to, exactly the way you've laid it out. So there I am doing something, whatever it is. I'm happy. My heart is open. This is this is working. This is making my life better. Ego comes in, conditioning, whatever, you know, if we don't want to call names, then something comes in and says, I don't like this. I don't want to do it. And to stop and look right there and recognize that process for what it is and then take the steps of, now, this would be a really important thing for me to look into as a process.
Yeah.
That is going to lead to big freedom.
Because it's amazing how there's, like, it feels like, and I know it's just designed to feel this way, like there's no room in there for looking. Like there's not even a split second in which there's a chance to look.
That's right.
Before I'm just somewhere else. I'm
That's
caught
right.
in some, you know, I'm, and so then it doesn't, I don't see it.
That's right.
Or I don't.
Yeah, and to recognize that whole sequence as a process.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know and I know the whole point of that process is to get you out of the present, get you out of that open heart, I'm enjoying this, life is good place, and back into distraction, which is going something wrong, and distraction, which is going to lead to unconsciousness and lead to conditioning making its arguments for suffering.
And isolation.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, you know, like you said, that whole argument of being not with anything because it's, you know, well, I may not agree with that, so I'll just be over here. Well, I
That's
don't agree
right.
with that over there, so I'm
but,
going over, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, how alone can you
That's
get?
Right. We just ruined that for you tonight, didn't we? We just ruined that. You can no longer really enjoy being alone because you know that basically you don't agree with yourself. Thank you for this.
Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have at least two more callers lined up here.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Barb from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I'm going to join in with the laugh, too. I had something I wanted to talk about. I was getting confused about what it is I wanted to talk about, which is one of the things I wanted to talk about was the confusion. And I heard right before I called in, I heard a little voice saying, I don't think I need to call in tonight. And I said, well, I can understand why you wouldn't, but I'd like to.
That's right. Well, then you go off and do something else while I call in.
Yeah. Actually, what I want to talk about is the dysfunctional relationship I have with conditioning.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It is one of those things that I'm kind of seeing. I go to a writing group that started in September, and she uses a thing that's from a book called Writing the Mind Alive, where you just write what comes into your mind, usually maybe with a topic or just right there. And if something, some word or something strikes you, you ask the question and write it down, what do I mean by this? And it takes you through all sorts of different places. And it's been kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But what it isn't is a group that has a privileged environment.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been very different for me. You read your thing out loud, and people comment on it in a way, but not too many comments, but it's just kind of different.
So people would feel comfortable, say, unconsciously projecting onto it.
Oh, yes, absolutely, uh-huh. Yeah. And so the person who's in charge of this is, said she was a family therapist and has used writing in her therapy, and she's doing this like free on her time, and it's just kind of interesting. But this last write that we did, it's usually about 4 minutes, and usually you sit maybe to breathe a little bit before you start, and she usually gives a topic. It could be anything. This time it was just to remember, and with that blank topic, I felt that sort of confusion and tangling where I couldn't come up with a memory. And when I started to look at that really quickly in those 4 minutes, it kind of goes through the bottom line is that I can't come up with a memory that would be good enough for this. And
you could come up with lots of memories.
Yeah. Oh,
but they're
sure.
Not going to be good enough.
And so I came up with an example in this of a memory that would not be good enough, like doing the laundry on the last warm day. And as I wrote that down, it was a great thing to remember.
Uh-huh.
And so I even wrote in the little thing here that I can see that even something that would be considered an inferior memory is a good one. So this whole business of the confusion and the tangle and not good enough is the old scam that keeps you from actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm. And the two parts who are involved in that, right? Because somebody has that as a memory,
yeah,
because it sounds like it was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very pleasurable thing to be doing on the last warm day.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes in and says, but that's not good enough. That's, yeah. I mean, what is it? You're doing the laundry. That's, you can't, especially in writing class, you're going to write about you did the laundry.
Yeah.
And suddenly what was a pleasant thing for you becomes, well, could be embarrassing. It could be humiliating. It could be real proof that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. May I stop
you for just a sec?
Sure.
I really want you to look and see if the issue there is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
To see what's going on. I had a sense when I was describing what you described of an older child and a younger child.
Mm-hmm.
Just to look at that a little bit more when it comes up and see if confusion is really what's going on. It may be that that's the word that you want to use for it, but I get the feeling there's a lot of relationship underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my sense that it's a small child having an experience and then an older, more not kind of sophisticated or savvy child who's been through the pains of social conditioning comes in with a reaction to it that leaves that younger child kind of thrown off and unsure of herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that I sort of got out, and I wasn't sure this has happened before, because when I go to the either call in or retreats or workshops or something like that, it's always kind of a someone choosing what's going to be said kind of feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
And but seeing what it seemed like to me Now, when I have this kind of situation come up and I can see how conditioning is working and then it comes out at the end, it almost seems like I'm stuck in that place. Does this make sense? I'm trying to think how to say it. That conditioning is actually using that. It's kind of like almost allowing that kind of seeing to a point and bringing it up and saying, ah, see, this is what conditioning does, and it keeps me out of this and that. And it just keeps me coming to that where I feel like, oh, yes, I've seen that. But I keep seeing that again and again. It's like a stuck place.
So conditioning being in charge of seeing conditioning.
Yeah.
So that it's certain only to see to a certain point.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I definitely felt it that day.
But now?
And it had an aha with that.
Yeah.
That was beyond the first aha.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't that?
Yeah.
And then what was interesting, because I've seen that before, and it's like I fall into it. It's like I know exactly what to write, what words to put down, and it makes it seem like, isn't this a nice little neat package? Here's what conditioning does. It ruins your time here, and then here, see, now you've seen it does that.
Uh-huh. And so now, in this kind of process mapping sort of way, you're stepping back and seeing that as a whole. And then you're going to step back and see who is seeing that as a complete whole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's keeping an identity in place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's very good.
And it was interesting, too, after this write and you read it out loud, she said, well, that seems to be a theme with you. And I immediately went to feeling bad. Like, gosh, I'm the only one that sees there's something wrong and I'm not good enough.
Mm.
And then I could see that. And, of course, to double check on it, I went through all the rites, and there was nothing that would give a clue that this is a theme, because all the other rites were just going on topic. So it was just interesting to see to go through that. And then I went into, well, you know, this is a group I really can't stay with. It's not a privileged environment. I don't feel good when I go there.
Uh-huh. And then seeing that you actually had added all of that meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the privileged environment, the lack of privileged environment is usually what we bring to the situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's very fun.
Yes. Yes. It's interesting because I've seen all this, even with the email class lately with the chakras, it's just conditioning has been looking at it, and there has been that confusion, same kind of thing that sets in,
mm-hmm.
where there's a definite trying to understand it, and it's just... It's me a lot of times.
Yeah, I want to ask you again to play with that young child, older child.
Yeah.
And just
that's definitely something I haven't looked at.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and then let us know.
All right.
Good.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Barb. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, in our third and final segment, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
If you want to live a healthier lifestyle naturally, visit wellnow.ca, an all-Canadian quality resource. We provide the information and knowledge you need to make your best choices. Wellnow.ca gives you access to natural products and solutions, lifestyle services, and licensed health practitioners. Our free monthly newsletter delivers healthy living tips, articles, and expert opinions. Become empowered. Go to wellnow.ca today.
Hey, got a marketing department? Outsource it. Electronic Theater, a full-service multimedia ad agency, will animate your business. Still stuck with paper? Go digital. Engage your prospective clients with dynamic media, including voice, animation, video, music, and even virtual tours. Your interactive presentation illustrates who you are and what you do. Whether it's projected onto screens, handed out on CD with auto web link, or streaming from your website, multimedia will grab your client's attention and keep it there. Electronic Theater makes it simple. We are knowledgeable, experienced, friendly professionals, and surprisingly affordable. So get your message out to the world. Electronic Theater, spotlighting your business. Check out our services and low CD replication pricing at electronictheater.com or call us at 760-436-8449.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be on the air, behind the mic?
Are you an expert in your field or just passionate about a particular topic?
Then World Talk Radio has a place for you. You could host your own professional show and share your message with the world.
World Talk Radio is producing a new fall lineup and is interested in hearing your show ideas. Let us help you start your own radio show today from anywhere in the world.
Call right now to find out how you can become a host. It's easier than you think. Call 858-836-0164. Or email us at newshows@worldtalkradio.com.
World Talk Radio.
Have a question or comment? To speak to our show hosts or guests during the live show, call in toll-free in North America, 877-514-7300.
And from elsewhere in the world, call 001-858-277-1444.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, it's been a busy, busy show, and we have another caller. I'd like to welcome Lisa from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I'm doing really well. This is so fun.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I was calling because there's something that that happened recently that was just so interesting, and I wanted to talk about it with you. Basically, I'll just tell you kind of the gist of what happened. There was something where a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, happens to do work, and his work has to do with personality types. And he sent me this article about personality types, and there was this one thing in it that for some reason my conditioning just really didn't like. And so I wrote back and said, you know, I think your take on that thing about that type is just really not correct. And, of course, it was the type that I see myself as being. And he wrote me back.
You know, we could argue does make you something of an expert.
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah.
So I said, no, that's not right. And so I wrote him back. And it was interesting. He wrote me back, and he has a very distinct kind of style of being where he sometimes can be blunt, and sometimes that can be good, and sometimes that can be bad. And he wrote me back and was just kind of like, you know, he kind of said, you know, well, I'm kind of chuckling at what you wrote back to me because I think it's kind of a rationalization or whatever, and Tom, that's interesting. You'll have to explain it to me someday. It was kind of a light comment, but my conditioning just went crazy, and it was just like, how dare you? How dare you say that I don't know what's going on with myself? I'm not the expert on this, you know? And it was just really interesting to watch it because I decided to use it in my awareness practice. I decided to really decide, you know, is this thing that was pointed out, am I rationalizing what I'm saying? Is this original statement true for me? You know, to instead of having a conditioned response where I said, no, that's all wrong,
right,
to really sit and take time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, I was right.
You were right?
I wasn't right.
Oh!
Boy, was I wrong. And the thing that this person had pointed out, you know, in a very innocuous way, this was never meant to be about me. This was just something that was passed on to me. But, you know, that part of my conditioning latched onto it, and I made it about me, you know.
Of course.
Of course, right, because it's all about me. And it was just really interesting to see it all happen and to watch it happen and to see, this, you know, obviously this was a really big sticking point in conditioning for me and something I had never looked at before. And it was interesting that when it came up on my radar, my first instinct was just to shoot it down completely, not consider it, not just have a complete knee-jerk reaction to it, and not really consider the possibility that this was something that could be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just
there's a way, of course, we know. When we have that kind of reaction, we can guess it's true.
Right?
I mean, when conditioning jumps up and says, no, I'm not like that. No, that's not true about me. No. We can be pretty sure that, yes, I am like that.
Right, exactly. And which is kind of why, you know, and like I said, in some ways, the bluntness and the kind of teasing quality of the email that I received could be insulting, but also I think because of my awareness practice, it couldn't have happened any other way. Do you know what I mean? It had to be like that to really zap everybody into an awareness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just really interesting. But then this wave of embarrassment came over me, and it wasn't so much about being wrong as it was about, oh my God, I've been doing this thing, and I didn't even realize I was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really thought I wasn't, and everybody else can see it.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm the only one who didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and it wasn't really about being wrong, although, you know, that is a part of it, but it also was about, oh my God, what have I been doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was just really, really interesting to me because I haven't felt that that sharply in a long time. Probably the first time I went to the monastery was like the one that was really knocked me on my butt. And this one was really, it was still like the pretty, pretty heavy experience.
And did it feel like self-consciousness?
It did, yeah. It felt like self-consciousness, it felt really ugly. It felt really dirty for some reason. It felt like I had been engaged in something that was really not pleasant.
And then got caught.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're reaching for the cookie and the light comes on, you know, and there's, you know, whoever standing over you.
Now,
since
we're almost out of time, I want to ask you this, okay?
Uh-huh.
To look at this. Does it seem to you that that reaction is actually designed to make sure you're not open to seeing what conditioning is doing in the future?
Mm. Right.
You like with me on that?
That's conditioning's defense mechanism.
That's right. This is so awful. This is so embarrassing. This is so, you're never to go there again.
Mm-hmm.
Not even about you're not supposed to be that way, but just never to be revealed like this again.
Right, like don't look.
Don't look, and don't let anybody else look.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I'll look at that. Thank you.
Let me know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, take care.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, when the show starts, I feel like we just run, sprint, and then it's over.
That's right. Yeah, it's past hour.
Let's do it again next week.
I'm committed.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Michael.
Good night.
Good night.